This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Reuters, Dateline, New York. The United Nations called on Ethiopia, Sudan, and Egypt to recommit to talks on the operation of a giant hydropower dam, urging them to avoid any unilateral action a day after Ethiopia began filling the dam's reservoir. I welcome Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, who has guided me these many months and years to understand the Horn of Africa. This is a subset of the Horn of Africa, Ethiopia, Sudan, and Egypt. The Blue Nile is the talking point, but it's geopolitics and it's global geopolitics. So we begin first with what is the dam, the hydropower dam, now being filled for electricity for this critical region of the Horn of Africa. It is shorthanded as GERD, G-E-R-D. Gregory, a very good evening to you. What is GERD? Who's building it? And what's wrong with hydroelectric power? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, it's the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, GERD, and it's in the Benishangul-Gumuz region of Ethiopia, which is about 45 kilometers or 28 miles east of the border with Sudan. The objective of building the GERD some years ago was to, in response to a Sudanese request for hydroelectric power and to create this dam to deliver hydroelectric power, cheap power, to Sudan. And this would have been a big Ethiopian export. So this dam was being built at the request of Sudan to alleviate an energy problem which it had. Now, of course, all of that's been forgotten. And in fact, all of the background is being forgotten as we now build up this region towards a war, which I've been talking to you about for the past month or so, much more than that, actually, a war which is coming, which has nothing to do with the realities on the ground. You will hear the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam spoken of over the next weeks as being a cause for conflict. It is nothing of the kind. This is a war which people needed to have for different reasons. The Egyptians and the Sudanese have been maneuvering for this for some time. And when I say the Sudanese, I don't mean the civil Sudanese government. They're about to be wiped away in this process. The Sudanese military are now using this as an excuse to get back into power, and the Egyptian government, the Egyptian armed forces, are supporting that as part of an age-old attempt by Cairo to control the sources of the Blue Nile.
That word unilateral, Gregory, key on the word unilateral action. What does that mean? Translate. The UN fears unilateral action. How so?
Well, Egypt and Sudan have said that they would militarily attack Ethiopia. They have been building troops up on the Ethiopian border for some time. They've started doing this under the guise of having exercises, military exercises, in June. These were exercises called Guardians of the Nile, which were to, if you like, legitimize the buildup of the armed forces of Egypt and Sudan on the border so that they can then roll across into Ethiopia to seize the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam. And by the way, if that happens, don't expect the dam to be torn down. Rather, its ownership and therefore the economic wealth that's created would be merely transferred from Ethiopia to Sudan and also under Egyptian control. So the unilateral action to which the UN refers is A, the military action by Egypt and Sudan, and B, the filling of the dam by Ethiopia. Bearing in mind that the UN Security Council language is being dictated largely by Washington, which is working to support Egypt in this matter. So we're seeing this war about to take place, which is, again, nothing to do with the realities on the ground. There are no great violations of either water rights or human rights on the ground around this. This is about political objectives being sought and long in the planning.
Let's look at your report most recently of the preparations for what appears to be a border war. You report that troops are being airlifted from Egypt to Khartoum. You report that the Egyptian military has ignited the Sudanese military. You report that, roughly speaking, the Ethiopian military matches the scale of the Egyptian military and Sudanese, although the weapon systems are greatly at question. Are both sides now thinking that this will come to an armed conflict? Is this Addis Ababa and Cairo maneuvering around each other before opening fire?
No, it's Addis Ababa being the deer caught in the headlights, and it's Cairo maneuvering with about 500,000 troops at its disposal with the Sudanese. And what's likely to happen, and what is belatedly happening, is that Addis Ababa, the Ethiopians, are allying themselves with the Eritreans to try to resist this. The Egyptians are not only airlifting troops, have not only airlifted troops into Khartoum and then up to the Bani Shangal area, but they've also been sea-lifting troops. They've got two very large LHDs, landing helicopter docks, big assault ships, which they've brought troops down into the Red Sea to the Sudanese coast, and they're moving them into Sudan from there. They'll also guard the Sudanese-Eritrean border in case, as almost certainly will be the case, the Eritreans try to thrust into Sudan in response to the Egyptian-Sudanese thrust into Ethiopia.
These states, Sudan, Egypt, and Ethiopia, have they fought wars before, Gregory? Is this a repeat of something in the 19th or 20th century?
Incessant wars, not just in the 19th and 20th centuries, but going back into antiquity. Control of the Upper Nile has always been seen as critical by the Egyptians, particularly. So they've always fought wars against the various leaders in Puntland in biblical times and right through to the Ethiopians of later years. So yes, this has been going on forever. The reality is that none of this yields any more water to Egypt. Yes, Egypt is going through a water crisis, largely because its population has ballooned out to well over 100 million people, and yet the Nile, of course, doesn't add any more water to the equation, and it will not, no matter whether they have a war against Ethiopia or not. But if you are the president of Egypt, and you have a major crisis on your hands, which gets back to food and water, you have to blame somebody and you have to take some action. And this action is going to be to blame it all on a foreign power, namely Ethiopia.
But Ethiopia is in possession of the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam and the land around it. So we're talking about an invasion, right? We're talking about annexing a piece of Ethiopia. Is that the plan here, to take it?
That's correct. And the Sudanese have already started in the past 6 months or so, having agreed to the construction of this dam in the first place, and now saying, oh, actually, this is Sudanese territory. We're seeking its return. This is all really highly questionable politicking. And yet what we see is the major Western powers, who are absolutely determined to ally themselves with Egypt, because they don't want to lose Egypt as a friend in the region, because it controls the Suez Canal and because it's so influential in the Arabic speaking world. The West absolutely unquestioningly says, well, whatever Cairo wants, we will deliver. So right now we're seeing this war, which is going to create a desert in the region, and it will create such desolation that the Ethiopians and the Eritreans will have no possible response other than to deny the lower Red Sea security to the Egyptians and to the Suez Canal traffic.
Recently, you've reported about the entrance of the Tigray Popular Liberation Front into Mekelle, the capital. Much celebration, video in Europe, and applause from the UN, from the United States and others, because Prime Minister Abiy of Ethiopia had recognized a ceasefire, although there was talk that there was fighting around Mekelle. How does Mekelle connect to this apparent threat of invasion of Ethiopian territory?
The TPLF's propaganda machine is what's going to give the UN Security Council, and particularly U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, the casus belli they need to put troops on the ground into Ethiopia, ostensibly on human rights ground, ostensibly to contain the civil war underway in Ethiopia. So the TPLF, the Tigray Popular Liberation Front, which as the name implies is a strenuously Marxist organization, but it's called violent organization, which had been in control of Ethiopia from about 1990 onwards till 2018. When their government collapsed in 2018 and they were removed from power, they then reverted to fighting against the Ethiopian state, which is a multicultural state, multinational state. And they started a war which was extreme in its viciousness. It had an avowedly genocidal premise to kill Amhara people. And what we've seen in the last couple of weeks is that the Ethiopian government, knowing that the threat was coming to the whole country, said, okay, you know, we are not continuing the war in Tigray against the TPLF. We unilaterally call a ceasefire on that. So if the war continues, it's not us. And so what happens, of course, is that the TPLF has continued the war unilaterally from its point of view against the Ethiopian government and against the Amhara people and against the Eritrean people. So it's very interesting that, yes, there are going to be violation, but as they began, they are being largely caused by the TPLF, the Tigray Popular Liberation Front. So this gives Washington the excuse it needs to invade. It's almost a mirror image replay of what Antony Blinken and his colleagues did under the Clinton administration during the 1990s to legitimize the attempts to break up Yugoslavia and to break up Serbia, to attack Serbia. It's like they dusted off the old playbook and it's underway again. And it is profoundly to the discredit of Washington at this time.
The eve of war, Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. And when we come back, China, Egyptian foreign minister, and the very infamous Wang Yi of Foreign Ministry of Japan, of China, meeting together in Cairo, talking about the GERD Dam. Why? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.